All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we head towards Final Four weekend. Our Final Four teams, of course, three number one seeds, which, believe it or not, hasn't happened a lot in the last several years, but you've got three of them, Kentucky and Wisconsin, playing. And then number one Duke will face off against the seven seed Michigan State. The Duke game will kick us off here on Saturday as we will have the broadcast for you starting at 4:30 here on WGCL, brought to you by Meineke Car Care Center. We appreciate their support all during the NCAA tournament, allowing us to bring so much basketball to you. And we're going to talk so much basketball tonight as it is a big weekend. And of course, the biggest question of the weekend involves Kentucky, and can they become the first undefeated team since the 1976 Hoosiers? Some people around here remember that team. Can they be the first one to go undefeated? And before we answer that particular question, they play Wisconsin at 8:30 or 8:40 or so on Saturday night. I suppose the question to me is, and it seems obvious, but I don't know. Quinn Buckner has come out and said maybe not as obvious. How important is the undefeated 1976 team remaining in place to people? You get the sense that people certainly don't want Kentucky to do it because it's Kentucky versus Indiana. But how important is it after 40 years or whatever the heck it is at this point in time that team remain the last one to go undefeated? Some of these guys are not talking about like the 72 Dolphins, like popping champagne and that sort of thing. They don't seem to have that much of a problem with it.
Well, it depends on what side of the fandom you're on. If that's something that was near and dear when you were in school here, maybe it hits you a little differently. As an Indiana basketball fan, of course it resonates. Is the undefeated part of it the great part of it, or was it just a great team that no matter who else? There were other undefeated teams. There were great teams with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton that played college basketball just 4 or 5 years before that, 6 years before that. So since it hasn't happened in a long time, I think it just is, the myth grows a little bit greater. But again, undefeated in conference play, undefeated through the NCAA tournament. That's any way you cut it. All you can do in the era you play in is beat everybody that's in front of you. And Babe Ruth would have been really good in baseball if he started yesterday. And Wayne Gretzky would be really good in hockey today, et cetera, et cetera. And those guys that played at that time were some of the best college basketball players there were. So that team, for me, doesn't get diminished 1 ounce if Kentucky does what they do. And if people just want to bring it to straight numbers, great, no problem. Yes, 40-0 is 8 more games than 32-0. Yes, it was 25% more. Is this right? Am I doing the math right here? 1-4.
Sure.
Eight more games, is that's 25% more chance that Kentucky didn't lose.
Right.
So I don't understand why we can't put both of them up if it does happen. And it hasn't happened yet. We went through this in 1991. Not you and I on the radio. We were a little young for that. But Las Vegas was the same way.
Right.
Las Vegas was playing and killing teams and beating everybody up and doing this and the other thing. And over a two-year run, remember, they destroyed Duke in the 1990 title game by 30 points. Bobby Hurley was sick. He was a freshman point guard, I think, at the time, too. Wasn't playing very well. Don't forget about that part. But they blasted Duke in the final that year, and they brought just about everybody back.
Yeah, if
not,
we were great.
Well, they brought all their good players back, and then they added some more guys to it. So that was a great Vegas team that no one thought that Duke team could beat. So that being said, when it happens, we'll have a big show on a week from today to talk about, geez, where is Kentucky's place in history?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, whatever this Kentucky team does doesn't diminish, take the shine off, the luster off anything Indiana did or did in 1976. And remember, they were really good in 1975 as well. Knight has said that was the better team. Buckner might agree with him on all that. So where Kentucky is right now, they have two more games to play.
Yeah.
And these are against number one Wisconsin and perhaps number one Duke, or a Michigan State team, if they get to that game, is playing with all the house's money.
Right, absolutely.
So they've got to slay some pretty big cats, some pretty big coaches, and even a bigger piece of history before we can start moving space in the penthouse to let them come in.
Well, absolutely. And you mentioned the 75 team, and I think that's important to remember because, you know, if you compare the teams, and I don't mean position by position, but certainly a little bit in its makeup, this was an Indiana team, a two-year team, that was, again, one loss in two whole years. It's kind of unbelievable and almost unthinkable at this stage. You mentioned UNLV. They're one of the last few that you can think of that even approached that. I don't remember how many losses they ended up with in the year they won the title. But, you know, it's
three or four, yeah, not too many.
It wasn't many, two. But it's in that same kind of neighborhood where you can keep a team together over some period of time. Inevitably, even if this Kentucky team wins, if they lose, they're going to lose a bunch of guys off this team.
But conversely, nobody talks about the 91 Vegas team in any sense of history about how great they were,
yeah,
because they lost in the national semifinal. Zero is the most powerful number. Well, it might be one, too. One wipes you out of the discussion. You can't even knock on the door.
Right.
The doorman doesn't let you in the building if you have got one. Mm-hmm. If you have zero, it's the easiest number to follow and argue for the general public because you are unbeaten at the time.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to break it down briefly, if this happens, the one thing you're going to look at is who Kentucky had to play in the SEC versus who Indiana had to play in the Big Ten over an 18-game season. It's not even close on who the better competition was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten at the time was in the ACC were the two elite conferences by leaps.
I mean, Indiana beat Michigan when it came down to it to win their title
for
in 76.
The third time that season.
Right.
And Michigan was ranked in the top 8 the whole year long.
Yeah.
So, again, to run the table in that conference versus the SEC, we can talk about that because that has happened. And I don't think even the most ardent Kentucky fan will say, well, it's harder today. No, it's not. Not when you're traveling first class, staying at every 5-star hotel, you've got this, that, and the other thing. No, it's not.
Well, I would argue this in their favor, not that it's harder today necessarily.
And but they haven't done it yet.
With the makeup that they have on that team, I do think, and nobody wants to, not too many people certainly around here want to do this, but you got to give John Calipari a great deal of credit for getting a bunch of guys with the level of talent that he has, guys that could very easily have entered the NBA draft out of high school if they were given the chance and never even shown up in college. But to get them with that mindset coming into Kentucky and buying into the mindset of working for the team, and they do. And you know, he has pared down his substitutions and the way he brings people in a little bit more than he did earlier in the season. He doesn't have the platoon anymore. Of course, he's down a player, but he doesn't have those platoons anymore. But to get them to all buy into the team, and you don't have a bunch of 20-point scorers and a bunch of 20-rebound guys, you got a bunch of guys that are averaging around 10 and around 8 rebounds. You know, there's a lot to be said for buying into that with the egos that are out there nowadays and the way kids come up, and as we talked about with transfers here at IU, the way they're told they are the player everywhere they go, and then to come in and say, no, we're all going to sacrifice and just do the little parts that we can and play for the team. It's amazing.
They still got to do it. Two more games to go.
Well, no question. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. It is not inevitable at this point, as Wisconsin certainly could very well have the game to do it, and Duke or Michigan State, both teams playing very well at this point. Duke having a bunch of talent, in Michigan State all the confidence in the world and nothing to lose by any stretch. We will talk about that first game when we get back from the break, Duke and Michigan State, and we'll do that in just a couple minutes. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Looking forward to the Final Four broadcasts, which we will have Westwood One's broadcast of that beginning at 4:30 on Saturday. Tip off to the first game is just after 6 o'clock, and that is brought to you by Meineke Car Care Center. We appreciate their support so that we could bring you this NCAA tournament in almost its entirety. Pretty much every day, every hour that it's been on the air, we've had it on. So that's been a lot of fun. And right around the corner, baseball season. Well, Reds baseball here on WGCL also. So your home of sports here in Monroe County. 333-2665 is the phone number. So looking forward to that first game Duke and Michigan State. Obviously, Michigan State, the underdog for a lot of reasons, but at this point in time, playing like everybody out there seems to know the role that they need to play. And what scares you if you're a Duke fan, and I don't know how many there are out there, but what scares you, I think, a little bit if you're a Duke fan is you've got a team coming that you know is always a tough out at this time of year. And it's a team that seems to understand at every spot what's expected of them. Against a Duke team, to me, that as talented as they are, and they are very talented, still is a little loosey-goosey with their play. You know, I can't say that they don't take it all seriously, because that's not the case, but it seems like possession by possession, it's not always a concern necessarily on what that one is. They don't value everyone at this point in time, I think, like Michigan State does, and I'm not sure that'll bite them or not, but it would concern me a bit at this stage.
No, and you like Michigan State because of their experience at this level, beaten regional finalists last year by a UConn team that was kind of similar to what they've put together this year. They've got a good coach, just like Duke has a good coach. They've been there. They've done that. They played earlier in the year, true or false. Did they play? Yes, they did. 81-71 was the final on Tuesday, November 18th, so they have seen each other before. Little times are a little bit different then, because we know the starts.
Second game of the year.
Michigan State gets off to. Duke had two under their belt at that time. So, again, not unknown quantities. And I think it's an underdog from a point spread standpoint, but I think these two games are awfully, awfully evenly matched, because who you have to beat and how you have to do it to get there is never easy. I mean, who likes playing against Louisville any time of the year? Nobody likes doing any of that stuff. So you've got two quality teams, Dave, and it's going to basically come down to who's going to stay the plan the longest. I think Duke might have individually better players. I'm not sure that they're collectively better than Michigan State right now, right. As this time. And that's what's going to be the issue here. Is it going to be, hey, Justice Winslow just had a huge Sweet 16 regional final down in his hometown in Houston. Does he try to continue that? When does he stop trying to continue it if it doesn't work? He's not one of the purest shooters you've seen. They've got a freshman point guard, Tyus Jones, a real nice player. Very nice player. Mm-hmm. Love to have him on my team any day of the week. It's still his first Final Four. Yeah. It's still a very big scene. It's still a big-time pressure situation of lose and go home. And I'm not knocking Gonzaga, but I'm going to knock Gonzaga. And I'm going to knock Utah. And I'm going to knock San Diego State. That's the last three teams Duke's played. Mm-hmm. What do you know about West Coast basketball?
Not much.
They don't do anything.
No, I mean, yeah, Utah might be the best defensive team out there.
tell me how many times they put teams in the Final Four recently.
Yeah,
not too many. And Gonzaga was a team that just, hey, they were scoring 80 points a game and couldn't do anything against Duke. They couldn't move it. Utah, yeah, it was a good fight, but a rock fight. San Diego State, same thing. But that game was just a drag until Duke hit a few shots in a row and got rid of them. So that's what they've dealt with. They've dealt with that kind of that slow down, beat you up kind of pace, which is what Michigan State does. So that's not going to surprise Duke in any way, shape, or form on any of that. What will bother them, I believe, is the completeness of Michigan State. They've got guys, just as many guys at positions. They do have experience. They've been through a tournament run before. They felt the pain and suffering of last year. And how those young guys of Duke respond. Remember, folks, Duke's got really good freshmen every year.
Yeah.
They don't go in the Final Four every year with these freshmen.
Yeah, they were out in the first round last year.
Well, there you have it. And the guys that they have right now at those positions, Okafor's a nice player. Michigan State's got some size. Mm-hmm. That can happen. Michigan State's got athletes to guard guys like Winslow. They got quick guys in the backcourt like Tum-Tum and Travis Trice can defend.
Yeah.
He didn't take plays off. So on paper, you might want to say it's a one versus a seven. You might say that, I don't even know what the line is on this game. Duke's probably a 6-point favorite, wouldn't you think? So, yeah, there's an underdog part in that. Dane Fife's going to join me tomorrow morning at 8:35. We'll get his thoughts on it. He's got the scout for Kentucky this weekend. So we're not going to touch that too much. But what Michigan State has done is they've evolved at the end of the year and became this new monster that has only lost one time since when? I don't know. Some of those bad 3-point shooting games. They came here and beat Indiana without Brandon.
They lost in the finals to
Wisconsin. Well, they had Wisconsin down 11 points with 8 minutes to go in that game. So it wasn't like they were blown out of that game. They've been playing awfully well for an awfully long time. And anytime you want to count the Big Ten out just because it's Duke, I wouldn't do that.
Michigan State's last time that they made you scratch your head a little bit was back when they lost at home in overtime to Minnesota and then went on the road. Ended up only losing by 7 at Wisconsin, but really had their doors blown off in the first half. And,
they did.
Made it respectable down the stretch. I want to ask you this question, though. You mentioned Tyus Jones as a freshman point guard. I realize Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine can handle the ball for Michigan State, but also a team that's throwing out there a freshman point guard, a freshman kind of backup big guy in Marvin Clark. So they've got a little bit of youth. Their main players are veterans that have been through this kind of thing all before, but they're throwing Tum-Tum Nairn out there too, and this is kind of a middle of the season they started really giving him that role.
Absolutely, and he gives you something a little bit different, that change of pace with the dribble. It gives you the change of pace defensively, gets up in guys. So, again, he's earned his minutes. He's not playing because he's got a funny name. He's been out there, and he's been productive. But you got guys like Dawson, who's going to out-athletic him? Anywhere, yeah, nobody. So it doesn't matter what size he is. He's in the fight for every rebound. You've got Costello, who's a smart enough player, has played enough minutes over his career. Schilling is long and athletic. He reminds you of the August kid from Notre Dame who had some success against Duke earlier in the season as well. I think it's a really interesting matchup, and I think it's if Duke is going to have – what they're going to be tested on is their patience if things aren't going well, because you know what? Besides the Jones kids, they don't really line up and shoot threes. Mm-hmm. And getting back into games and pounding into Okafor – Jahlil Okafor, that's his name, right? Yeah, the big fella. That's great. But, again, Michigan State's – they play tough teams for a reason. They have a big schedule because they're not going to see Okafor and go, geez. What do we do with a 6'11", 265-pound guy?
They've got a couple bodies they can throw at him. I mean, that's the good news. And they've got two other guys. You know, we mentioned Clark could play down there, and they've got another kid off the bench that doesn't play a lot but has played against some big guys. So they've got some fouls they can throw at Jahlil Okafor.
And I think one of the reasons Utah gave Duke problems is, number one, they're well-coached. Larry Krystkowiak, former NBA player, knows what he's doing. Yep. And the one thing you learn from that game is they showed you a different way to guard pick and roll, as kind of the NBA does it. Mm-hmm. And they'll give you a little bit of angle there where you don't always come with the same guy. You don't always jump this, switch that, move that. You have to attack it differently. And that forces freshman point guards to make decisions. That makes freshman role guys make decisions. Right. And what Michigan State has, they've been in the fight. Mm-hmm. They've been in the big fight before with this group. And they were in the big fight against Louisville just a few days ago. Duke's kind of been front-running. They haven't had a whole lot of stuff to worry about. It's kind of gone their way for the most part. But Michigan State's got that grit and then that fight. Not to say that Duke isn't going to fight them, but when you got experienced guys, they get a little belief in them, and you got guys making a bunch of shots. I'll tell you, I'm not rooting for Duke. That's for sure.
Well, of course,
Duke Kentucky final. Are you kidding me?
Let me ask you this. Well, do a huge number.
Let me
ask you this though.
That doesn't help us, does it?
I would not say that Michigan State has exceptional depth. It has some depth, it has more than Duke. And I think that's a factor I want to ask you about. How important is it to have some extra bodies to throw out there? To me, it's not having a guy anywhere near the skill level of Okafor, it's imperative that you have 2 to 3 guys that you can bang against them all night. So to me, that depth is a huge part. What I don't know is having, you know, Forbes come off the bench and spell one of your guys for a little while, having, I think, was it Ellis is the other one that can come in and spell in the backcourt. How important that kind of depth is in the backcourt? Because that's where it looks like to me that Duke doesn't have tons of extra depth is in their backcourt.
No, and the balance of the team is going to be interesting as well, because Forbes plays more when he makes more shots, and when he makes more shots, obviously that's going to create lanes for Valentine and Dawson and things around the hoop for Costello. Makes sense, right? You want to stretch the defense, but if Forbes isn't making any shots, he's not out there locking guys down. Let's be honest on that side of it. So if you get that two-headed beast with Nairn doing the defensive dirty work when he's in the game, and then you've got Forbes that comes in and can shoot it, well, that's going to be interesting. The other interesting part is how relentless Michigan can be on the glass. That's the other thing. That's a team. That's how you play there. You can't be 6-whatever and not rebound and play hard.
The leading rebounder in the Big Ten is 6'6".
There you go. And that's why, because he can jump a lot higher than everybody,
and
he gets after it. And he can block shots, and he can do everything. But it's just going to be an intriguing fight to see how they defend Okafor. Are they going to double him? Are they going to run? Are they going to let him post and just try to force him out of the block? Again, That's going to be the interesting thing, how they play it, because I don't see Duke as a team that's going to shoot you out of the building. Duke has to get to the rim. Duke has to get points in the paint. And Michigan State can kind of get you a couple different ways on that. They get a little three-point happy, but it's bailed them out of so many times, you can't really say, well, stop it. It's worked. Every time Trice shoots the ball, it's dead on. It's whether it's long or short.
They've got three guys minimum that can shoot them. I'll tell you what's interesting to me. To me, it becomes about the backcourt, because you got Trice, you got Valentine, you've got Forbes, and you've got Nairn, and these guys can all cause problems for the Duke guys. And more importantly, they're all tough guys themselves for the most part. Again, I'm not sure how Nairn is going to react to this stage, but the other guys have been through a lot of stuff before. These are all guys that can hit shots in your face. It doesn't take a lot of extra room for them to hit one over the top of you. Does Duke fall asleep for a half a second here and there on the defensive end in a big game? To me, when you're talking about young players, that's what tends to happen, is just not quite far enough out there on that guy, or just not diving in on the big guy quite quick. Those sorts of things where it's just kind of a razor-thin margin. That's where you love the experience. At least I do.
You were talking about Duke and backcourt and everything else. They had one field goal from their bench attempted in the Gonzaga game. One.
Yeah.
They played eight guys.
How many minutes, though?
31 total. Jefferson played 20 minutes, did not attempt a shot. Plumlee played 8 minutes, didn't attempt a shot.
He's just in there to got one waste rebound. Some time, yeah.
And Grayson Allen attempted one shot. That was it. So you had the starters go 21 for 55. Against Gonzaga. The only reason they won the ball game, Gonzaga was 22 for 50.
Well, if you look at the other teams, and we'll talk about the other game here in a few minutes, Michigan State is the one that spreads their minutes out, I think, a little bit more among more people. Kentucky, during the course of the year, obviously played guys a lot of minutes all across the board. But if you look at the tournament,
shift change.
They have really brought it back down. I mean, they're not playing Marcus Lee a whole heck of a lot. They're not playing
is because these games are usually so tight and you don't need to go that deep. You get enough stoppages every timeout, 6.5 minutes long. You're getting your rest in between those. Mm-hmm. You're going to the monitor every 15 seconds, it seems like, in the end of the game. And everybody's got all their timeouts. So you get into these 3-minute TV timeouts. These guys they're all conditioned, ready to go. They're all 18-year-old kids. 19-year-old kids. But the thing with Duke and Michigan State, it's going to come down to, if Duke forgets about Okafor, or if Okafor gets in foul trouble, that's the other thing. And Okafor can't shoot free throws. Look up what that guy shoots at the line.
It's atrocious. 51%.
I mean, that's Hack-a-Shack type stuff.
Absolutely.
Down the stretch you have to
67
pay.
From the field.
Exactly right. And but at the foul line, that's not a helpful thing in a tight ball game. So then who else is going to take the ball to the basket? Who else is going to get shots? It's going to be a fascinating game because both those teams are highly well coached, and you don't oops your way into a Final Four. I don't care who you are.
You have to beat
enough good teams along the way to do that.
Absolutely. We got to take a quick break, and we'll give you a prediction on that game when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Thanks to J&S Locksmith, where you'll find everything for the residential or commercial outdoor technician. J&S 508 West 17th Street, right here in Bloomington.
333-2665 is our phone number. Again, a programming note that we have the NCAA Final Four broadcast starting at 4:30 this Saturday afternoon. The games tip off just after 6 o'clock for Michigan State and Duke. And then half an hour after the conclusion of that game, we're in the neighborhood of 9 o'clock for Wisconsin and Kentucky. And once again, we'd like to thank Meineke Car Care Center for sponsoring that and bringing those games to you, the general public here in the Bloomington area. It's been a lot of fun having all those games on the air. So again, 4:30 on Saturday, that tips off. So let's go ahead and put a bow on Michigan State and Duke. The top-rated talent tells you Duke, but it also tells you that they're very young. The experienced guys are the Michigan State guys. Are they over some of the mistakes that they made over the course of the season? They sure look like it late in the season. I mean, the way they're playing, they're still making a couple of them, but not a bunch of them. And they sure seem to be playing well enough to get past them all. It's hard for me to always get past, though, the talent. But this is a team to me, Michigan State. I won't say they're destined because I'm not sure they're good enough to beat either of the two teams on the other side. But experience-wise, they're sure as heck ready and able to beat a Duke team that's still very young.
Absolutely, and that Duke team that is very young, under that, a lot of pressure. Everybody knows what Duke's expected to do every time that they lace them up. I'm going to like Michigan State, and I have. I had them in the Final Four for a reason. I did not have them moving on. I had another team beating them that will remain nameless at this time. But I'm going to go with the experience. I'm going to go with the playability of the experience in this. You want to put these guys, McDonald's All-Americans, up side by side. Duke's going to win. They're going to win that battle all the time, right? Right. Duke didn't have some fun earlier in this year playing with some teams that got up and down the court and got after them a little bit, North Carolina State, Miami. Some teams are a little bit more physical. I think Miami had a bunch of seniors on that team, if I'm off the top of my head remembering this. But the point is, when the going gets tough, Michigan State has the wherewithal. I think they have the guard play. I think they have the all-around play with Valentine and Dawson to chill out. It's not going to bother them a whole lot. And I think that's going to be the difference in the game. If Duke gets out 18-5, something like that, I'm going to be nervous. Who wouldn't be in that situation? But I'm going to go with the experience, Dave, and I'm going to go with the experience in the backcourt. And right now, that's Michigan State.
Since losing back-to-back nights, or back-to-back games, rather, at NC State and Miami in the second week of January.
Miami got them good, didn't they?
In Duke. 12 points.
At Duke?
No, right? I'm sorry, 16 points at Duke.
I mean, nobody does. Not a lot of guys do that.
But since January 13th for that game, their only two losses, Duke's only two losses, are to Notre Dame.
Yep, at Notre Dame and at the ACC
and
final.
They did beat Notre Dame in Cameron by 30.
They did.
Like a week and a half after they lost to him at Cameron. What does that tell you, if anything, that their only two losses out of almost 15 to 20 games late in the season are to a team that does like to get up and down the court on you, but it's also got kind of a senior component to it also?
Then the other part with Notre Dame is I don't think anybody's going to run out and tell you how great a defense they've played.
No, exactly.
South Bend. And then give Notre Dame.
But that's the team that beat them is kind of the way.
Give Notre Dame all the credit in the world. Notre Dame's down 5, 6, 7, 8 points in the ACC final in Greensboro, which isn't exactly South Bend.
Right.
That's about how long from Duke's campus? An hour? Whatever that is. Yeah. And then they come back and beat them there. So the greatest thing about these games are, on paper, none of them should be a blowout. And you hope and you hope and you hope that it's great theater. You hope the referees don't determine the outcome. And I think Duke on their day can beat anybody. And I think Michigan State on their day can beat just about anybody as well.
And you've got Michigan State.
I'm going with Spartans. I'm going with an all-Big Ten final. I'll take the surprise out of it right now. But that's who I'm. I want no part of Kentucky and Duke, folks. It's not how I roll.
Well,
I got nothing. The game would be interesting to a neutral. I'm not a neutral.
I'd prefer neither of them win. I am going to pick Duke because I simply want to continue to be amazed by this Michigan State team. I say it again. To me, what's impressive about this is the way their best players make some crazy mistakes sometimes and some at some key moments, and yet they're still going on the way they're going on here late in the season and winning these games. That's nothing short of amazing to me, because we talk about it here all the time. Your best players have to make your plays for you when you need them to.
What did they score against Louisville?
And yet you're getting dumb plays out of them, and then they're still making the big plays down the stretch.
And don't forget,
that doesn't normally happen. If your best players do dumb stuff, usually you're going to get beat.
We watch Michigan State more intently than we do watch Duke, because we see them more and more.
Absolutely.
So anytime you're under the microscope, you tell me Quinn Cook's 5 for 15 performance.
Well,
against
I mean, you got three freshmen out there playing.
No, I mean,
huge
Quinn
minutes.
Cook's a sophomore, junior. What is he?
Yeah,
he was
Duke's
2 for 10.
Cook's a
senior. Well, he's 2 for 10, right. And in the Jones kid goes 5 for 15. So you can tell me how great Duke's backcourt is all day, but the fact of the matter is, everybody's got warts, Dave. It's who can play through those warts, who can handle the gravity of the situation, and I'm going to go with the older team in that situation, and for me, that's Michigan State.
Makes sense. 333-2665 is our phone number. Looking at the other side of the bracket, and of course, Kentucky's pursuit of history. I think most of us around here would just assume they go away as quickly as possible.
Wisconsin.
And let's be fair, the team that has earned during the entire season to maybe win this national championship and is most likable out of those teams would be Wisconsin. You could like or not like Bo Ryan as much as you want, but you have to certainly look at the consistency over the years at Wisconsin. A team that, again, has become a better defensive team throughout the course of the season. That's the intriguing part about this matchup to me against Kentucky, is that Kentucky is known for their defense. I don't know that you want to or are going to be able to run up and down the court and put 85 on Kentucky. So you've got to be able to stop them from time to time also. You can't just be a sieve on the defensive end. And Wisconsin, by the end of the season now, is not. I mean, they're playing much better defense. They can score. But then at the other side of the thing, they can also hold Kentucky down a little bit. And I think you got to do that because it's going to be tough to put up numbers on Kentucky.
Here's the thing. You've got Kaminsky at 6'11". Decker's at 6'9".
Yeah, you've got a front court
Hayes
to match up.
Hayes is at 6'9". No, Gosser and Koenig are both 6'4". That's not tiny.
No, no.
And what Kentucky usually does is with the Harrison twins that both go about 6'5", they lean on other backcourts. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a dribble against 6'5", 220 all day long, that can wear down some smaller guys. That's not going to bother the corn-fed boys, the buzz cuts from Wisconsin. They play Big Ten basketball. What's that mean? Most teams in the league defend. Most teams get into you and get after you. So that's not going to come as a surprise. It's not going to come as a shock. Mm-hmm. If you want to make the argument the ACC is a little bit loosier-goosier, I would buy that because they'd like to get up and down the floor more. But you're not going to beat Kentucky, Dave, at Kentucky's game, which is getting loose in transition with those guys and letting them fly around. And, again, you get a little tired. They bring on four fresh bodies. You might bring in one fresh body. So, but what does Wisconsin do naturally? They run stuff to get stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't take the first three that's open because they don't want to. That's why. They could simply do so if they wanted to.
They could hit them, sure.
But they choose not to because the philosophy is if we make two more passes, that's two more chances you fall asleep. And they've shown they can take five guys and put them around the perimeter. They've shown they can take three guys and put them on the block. You've got flexibility. It is not a one-man Alondo Tucker team.
Yeah,
it's not a one-man Devin Harris breaks it down.
Right.
And you hope
Jordan Taylor.
And you hope the big white guy in the corner knocks down a three. I mean, that was Wisconsin for about 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had one dynamic player and four guys you hope made shots on the day.
Right, or could throw in a three for you. Yeah,
Taylor, Mike Wilkinson.
36 on a three.
Jared
Bergeron.
There you go. Every guy had shaved.
Mike, Brian Butch.
You had the red-haired kid. Yeah. With the curly afro. Yeah, those guys had to be hot three or four. They weren't that level of player that Ryan has now. Decker's solid. Nigel Hayes is growing into something very solid. Everybody knows how good Kaminsky is. Koenig has probably been the biggest surprise this season. The last time Wisconsin lost, Dave, they shot 38%. They were 6 of 22 from the three-point line. That was at Maryland. They scored 53 points. You're not going to beat anybody scoring 53 points unless your defense is unbelievably outstanding and you get every rebound, and that's not what happened in that night. So what happens? You bring back a kid with experience in Trayvon Jackson who can spare you a few minutes. He shouldn't turn the ball over. Wisconsin doesn't turn it over, Dave, and they rebound well. Yeah. Those are two good things. That's not going to give Kentucky extra possessions. And I don't think that – Kentucky's athletic. Don't get me wrong on this. But I don't look at Wisconsin. Who's a stiff?
Hayes? None of them.
Decker?
No.
Kaminsky? None of those guys are stiffs.
No. And you bring in a couple guys off the bench that, you know, are not at the same level. But, you know, at least – I mean, you got a body out there.
You do.
I'll tell you what scares the heck out of me or what I'm wondering about in this particular game when we get back from the break, because we do have to take that. 333-2665 is a phone number, but more looking at Wisconsin and Kentucky, the nightcap on Saturday night here on WGCL when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, again, 4:30 on Saturday is when Westwood One's coverage of the Final Four starts here on WGCL, brought to you by Meineke Car Care Center. We'll also have the championship game starting at 6:30 on Monday, so we'll be in here, but we'll only be in here for half an hour.
We will set the table.
Absolutely. And then they will serve you after park. That.
They will bring you your dishes, your appetizers, your main course.
A lot of it, too. A lot of pregame because
that's great.
9 o'clock or whatever, 9:20 set tip-off.
Well, 68 teams, that gives you how many games? 67 of them to cover. About. So, yeah, it's a great recap of it. It's fun to look back. You almost forget about it because it's almost three separate tournaments, Dave. You've got the first – you've got that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then
– yeah,
because the
first – going on that weekend.
That weekend, it's like, ooh, we just got through those 4 days.
Well, that's when you get all the upsets. I mean, the really big upsets.
And then the better coaches get 5 days to prepare for the next round, and usually those teams win, or they play other great coaches. How about Rick Pitino? I saw that stat. He's 13-1 in Sweet 16 games.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's unfair.
Well, and Izzo's crazy in the second game of Sweet 16 or any weekend.
He is pretty good on
Saturday, Sunday.
But that's the fun part. So you rehash that first week of all the dreamers, then you get into the who's playing really good basketball, then you get into these fantastic regional finals, and then again, hopefully the Final Four is if the Final Four is half as good as the regional finals, I don't think any of us will complain.
Well, and it looks like
the
it
bar
should
is
be,
awfully high.
Certainly.
Also
should note, next Wednesday, a week from tonight, is our first Reds broadcast coming right after the In the Zone program. 7 o'clock pregame. The Reds against Pittsburgh.
First
it's time,
night
folks.
Game.
That's right. It is time. 333-2665 is our phone
what
number.
What worries you about the Kentucky-Wisconsin matchup?
Here's the thing.
Does it worry you?
This is what worries me a little bit. And I don't know if it's a worry, but I'm keeping my eye on it. I'm not sure how much this would affect Kentucky, but I know what kind of negative effect it could have on Wisconsin. Wisconsin's bigs like to try to take charges. They did it against Arizona. You got Kaminsky flopping all over the place. Worked great. Got Tarzewski out of the game. Key, is important. But more importantly, fouls weren't called on Kaminsky. I would take a couple of these big guys for Kentucky over Tarzewski. My concern is trying to get a little bit too cutesy on the defensive end with that.
I think you just solved your problem because Tarzewski was more of a bull in a china shop where Towns can play and Cauley-Stein can play.
You.
What they don't do is they don't overpower you. Towns has moves around the basket. Cauley's more of a junk garbage guy who gets the follow-up stuff.
No, they're going to dump
it
into
Towns. But Tarzewski gets the ball and just goes. He doesn't. He's not going to sit around and see what shoulder you're at or where he's going to spin to. He just goes. And Kaminsky, being the smart senior that he was, got himself in the way of it. But what I think about that is it's all situational. When that time was in the game, I think Kaminsky had one foul. 12, 13 minutes to go, you can take that chance there. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that with two fouls or three fouls. So I think it's going to be situationally. But I think the Badgers and Bo Ryan know, what do they traditionally not do? They don't foul people.
Right.
They get in good position. They let guys go. If they're beating the post, they don't sit there
and
hack them.
You know how that bouncing around in the post goes and a charge foul,
please
block
keep
call
the referees
goes.
Out of the game.
Well,
please,
that's my
please,
ideal
please,
because,
please,
again, please. Kentucky's got enough numbers. I know Towns is head and shoulders the better inside player of all those big guys.
He's
but
got
they've
the
got numbers
talent.
They can at least throw out there against Kaminsky if Towns
Dakari
comes
Johnson.
Out. They lose something offensively, but they've got guys that can body Kaminsky.
And again,
but if you bring Kaminsky out of the game for Wisconsin, you cost them an absolutely enormous weapon.
You do, but the only good news is Dukan can shoot threes. He's 6'9". He's not a little guy. But here's the one thing about Kentucky you have to remember is who's going to A, guard Kaminsky, and B, whoever comes in to replace whoever's going to guard Kaminsky as well. I don't know if Dakari Johnson can handle him on the perimeter. I don't know if Towns
that's true.
I don't know if Towns can go out there and handle his foot speed.
No, it might be a Lyles type of matchup.
Well,
honestly.
that's the other problem. What if freshmen don't do very well at this line?
Well, I understand. Well.
But then again,
you got bodies.
And somebody's got one of them slow guys have to guard Decker, who tore up big guys and small guys for Arizona.
Yeah.
And then Hayes, again, he gets it going. He can put the ball on the floor. That's why Wisconsin's dangerous. They do have that experience. They do. They were there just like Kentucky was last year. Harrison hits the big shot to beat him. Boy, Trayvon Jackson, some free throws. That's the angle. So Wisconsin has been there, seen most of this, and I think that's a good taste in their mouth. They're not going in going, geez, what are they really like? They got to see most of it last
year. Let's talk about the backcourt here because you've got the veteran in Gosser.
Harrison twins are veterans too. They played 80 games now.
That's enough for me. They're sophomores. They've been around.
Sophomores.
You've got the two good youngsters in Ulis and Booker.
Yep.
You've got Gosser. You've got Yeah, Jackson coming off the bench at this point, but he's a shell of what you wanted out of him this year.
Or has been.
Well, you got a week.
Is he getting stronger? I don't know.
You got a week.
They're not going to tell you that either.
But certainly he looked like a shell last week. And you got Koenig, who's been the big surprise of that team
all
year long. And you've got Zach Showalter. Well, I know which group's got the more talent. The question is which group is going to be smarter and make the bigger shots, if necessary, or the bigger plays.
What system would you take, Calipari's or Bo-Ryan's?
What
system would you take?
The one that scores all the points.
Okay. Well, right now that tells me that's Bo Ryan's system.
Bo, you got to tell me this. I watch Bo Ryan's team on offense, and again,
how many points they score?
I don't see
Carolina?
A whole lot of motion moving to get
they
people
don't.
Open. I see a lot of one and two man type games.
They do. They isolate bad matchups. Yeah. They isolate stuff that works in their favor. They know Kaminsky shoots 68% from that wing. They go run plays to that wing.
Kentucky works on their matchups. They just tend to take some bad shots here and there because of greed. I think they're not alone in that.
Can Kentucky boss Wisconsin off the boards? I don't think they can. I think Wisconsin in all five position rebounds just as well as Kentucky does. I think this is they're 38-0 for a reason, and if you want to dismiss Wisconsin, Ryan, help yourself. I'm not.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying if you're the national media saying, well, geez, they could possibly get two Big Ten teams. Yeah, they could.
Sure.
And if you beat both of them, hats off to you. And if you lose to one of them, what's the retort going to be on that?
Exactly.
So let's calm down. Can Kentucky make every big shot they've looked at? It seems like they have to this point.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they've all gone in. And when they go in, you're really hard to beat. Little Lady Luck on your side.
Mm-hmm.
76 Hoosiers. Indianapolis. What is that on my back? Is that pressure just pushing down?
Can Wisconsin win this game in the 60s?
They can win the game in the 50s. They can win the game in the 40s.
Yeah.
They've shown us that over the last 2 years with the same core people. They can beat you in the 90s.
Not everybody else is Kentucky.
They can take it up there. Exactly right. I'm saying Kentucky has earned the respect they have.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky needed two overtimes at Texas A&M. Kentucky needed overtime at home to Mississippi State.
Sure.
Kentucky struggled at Georgia late in the season
Wisconsin
while playing.
Lost to Rutgers. I mean,
when Trayvon Jackson and Frank Kaminsky went out in the same game, Kentucky didn't have any big players missing those games.
Mm-hmm.
What they did is they found ways to win those games. I don't think, and again, it goes back to the same analogy I made with the 91 Vegas team. Nobody thought that team would lose. Guess what happened? Greg Anthony fouls out with 2 minutes to go, and Vegas couldn't get a shot off their last couple possessions because they didn't have anybody else to help with it. Now, if they played Duke 10 times, they'd beat them 7. No question about
no
it.
Doubt.
They didn't. It's a one-game series. Crazy stuff can happen. The gods of Indiana basketball will be smiling down on Bucky Badger, and the 76 Hoosiers will remain unbeaten, and it won't even take Monday for it to happen. Wisconsin puts out Kentucky in a 74-67 type, 68 type game. Kentucky doesn't hit every shot, they're not going to win.
I'm going to stick with chalk because I tend to be wrong on these things, and if any luck, if I pick Kentucky, maybe I'll be wrong.
Well, there you go.
Whatever works. Kentucky Duke would be the big number, but Wisconsin.
Who cares about the number?
Wisconsin in the Final Four, let's be honest, they're the team that all year long certainly deserves it and is the most likable because nobody likes Duke and Kentucky.
And how about that Ohio State team? Nobody thought doing it in football either because, you know, they don't play in the SEC. It's just the respecting after a while bugs you a little bit because it's not
I don't know that anybody's not giving Wisconsin respect. If they were facing Duke this week, they'd get all the respect in the world and maybe be picked.
They were the fourth number one seed and were put back into Kentucky's bracket.
The committee said they would have put them in the as a number one seed if they had lost the final.
And they were the worst number one seed.
So.
All right, there you go. So, again,
how Duke got in there is the question.
Two words, Mike Krzyzewski. That's how they got in there.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Again, 4:30 on Saturday starts the pregame for the Final Four, brought to you by Meineke Car Care Center. We'll have it here for you on WGCL. We will be back Monday to preview the final game and let you know what happened on the weekend.
Shout out to the Easter Bunny.
On Monday. You've been in the zone.